Our Bible reading this morning comes from Habakkuk chapter 3, and this is on page 942 of the Church Bibles. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time make them known, in wrath remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand, where his power was hidden. Plague went before him, pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed, but he marches on forever. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head, when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Susan, thank you very much. Can I add my welcome to that of Alan's? It's lovely to be here, especially for this final part of the Bible book of Habakkuk. Shall we ask for the Lord's help to understand it? Dear Father, we pray that your Spirit would be at work and speaking to each one of us today. When we hear your voice prophetically speaking into our hearts and lives about how we should live in our world today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are in Habakkuk chapter 3. If you've been here for the last 2 weeks, I don't know how you found this book so far. If you've not been with us, essentially this is a book dealing with questions of justice. And we live in a world of injustice, let's be honest. Some of us will know that very personally. Somebody treats you badly and you take the consequences. I talked last week about being blamed by the boss for something that someone else has done wrong. a time when your children or grandchildren are treated badly when it's not their fault. The time when we're on the receiving end of criminal activity that's not our fault. We've all got that experience. But then there's just the wider injustice of our town, isn't there? And our country. The rich and the wealthy get wealthier, and the levels of child poverty goes up. And we look at that on a global scale. Some of you were there last week. 8%, I think, was the statistic, of the world's wealth is hidden in offshore bank accounts. Quite extraordinary. We live in a world where there's an issue of injustice. That stat from last week, 95% of crimes in this country, nobody's ever charged. So that's the problem. We've got this problem of injustice, and Habakkuk is wrestling with it. And just as he wrestled with it in his day, well, we're wrestling, I think, with the same questions in our day. And the question we've been asking in the book is this. What does it look like to live by faith in a world of injustice? If you were here last week, Habakkuk is told by God to live by God's faithfulness, to live by faith, trusting God. Yes, we're to pour out our hearts to the Lord when we see injustice. Yes, we'll be distressed by it. But in the meantime, we're to live by faith as we wait for the return of Jesus Christ. And the book ends with Habakkuk's prayer. And I think essentially he's modeling for us what it looks like to live by faith. What it looks like to trust God in a world where injustice often feels like it wins. It's got lots of nice musical terms of Shigenoth. For the director of music on my stringed instrument, it was to be sung. Probably in the temple. This is a song, a prayer that we sing to God. And you probably realize much of the music we've sung today will pick up themes from this prayer. I know Sarah worked very hard to get those links together. So what do we learn? What does Habakkuk pray? So Habakkuk's response. Firstly, Habakkuk, as he prays, looks back. He remembers the past. It's there, isn't it? Verse 2. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. So in other words, he looks back to things that happened in the past, and he says, God, do them again in our day. And essentially, verses 3 through 15, it's like a little tapestry of different events from the past. So I'm going to sort of walk through those verses and pick them all up. But what we see throughout is where God has acted to deal with injustice and save those who turn to him for forgiveness and grace. So let's walk through this together. So verse 3. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. Now, this is a little geography point. Teman and then Mount Paran, that's Mount Sinai location. Do you remember where God came down on the mountain to give the Ten Commandments? In other words, this is remembering the days of the Exodus when God came and met with his people. So Habakkuk says, God, you're a God who's come and met with us in the past. You came to rescue the people from slavery in Egypt and bring them to the promised land. God, that's what you've done in the past. And of course, God has done that in the past for us. How has he come? In the person of Jesus Christ. He has come to us. His glory covered the heavens. His praise filled the earth. Jesus Christ revealing the glory of God. Verse 4, his splendor was like the sunrise, rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. It's a glorious picture of what God is like, and we see in the Old Testament. A God who's glorious and powerful. Verse 5, he remembers plague went before him, pestilence followed his steps. And again, I think we're probably looking back to the plagues, aren't we? Again, same incident where God rescued his people. Do you remember he sent the plagues on Egypt, on Pharaoh, and Pharaoh would not listen. He hardened his heart and he would not let the people go. And God sent these plagues, and in spite of that, Pharaoh was hard-hearted. But God eventually did rescue his people. Verse 6, he stirred and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. Because actually, as the people come out of Egypt, the great superpower of its day, God ultimately does let the people go, and he redeems them and rescues them and gives them the land. And he displaces the wicked nations that are there. The ancient mountains crumbled. The age-old hills collapsed. But he marches on forever. Look at the little language there. The ancient mountains and the age-old hills. In Hebrew, thinking, they're the things that have been there forever. Let's be honest, the mountains have been there forever. But they just collapse in front of God. In other words, God is the eternal one. Even the things that are steadfast, God is more powerful than. And that's what we see in how God has acted in history. Verse 8, were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? And as soon as you read about horses and chariots, we're back in the Exodus again. Do you remember? God eventually, after the Passover, let the people go. Pharaoh forced with horses and chariots. And of course, God enables the people to go through the Red Sea so that the people are safe, and then the waters collapse down on Pharaoh's horses and chariots. In other words, Habakkuk sees God as being like the horses and chariots, the one who can split seas to enable the people to go to safety. In verse 11, we've got sun and moon stood still in the heavens. And I wonder if that's a reference to Joshua's day. So remember, when the sun stood still, we're told, in the heavens, as the people entered the promised land. This is our God, the one who controls the sun and the moon and the stars. In your wrath, you strode through the earth. In anger, you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. Of course, he did displace the people of the land. That was Joshua. And the battle of Jericho and thereon. You came out to deliver your people and save your anointed one. That's the kings. Saul. Then David. Solomon. God always came to rescue his anointed king. With his own spear, you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us. This is a moment, it seems, when the enemies of God turned on each other rather than on God's people. And if you want a reference to that, it's King Jehoshaphat in 2 Kings. And verse 15, you trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. See what Habakkuk's doing? It's like this little tapestry. And he's got all the events of the past. And he remembers, God, you have been faithful. You have been gracious. You've shown anger and justice to wickedness, and you saved your people. And if Habakkuk can remember his past, well, what do we look back to? Jesus Christ. For us, of course, the great act of salvation to which the whole of the Old Testament points is Jesus Christ. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Isn't that Jesus? He bears God's wrath, so that we might receive mercy. He bears the cup so that we might be forgiven and live. The cross is the great moment where Satan is defeated. He is done so that we might live. Friends, as we live in an unjust, unfair world, let's look back and remember how God has acted in history. And all he's done for us in Jesus Christ. These, of course, are Bible events. But actually, can I encourage you, maybe in your own personal walk, how has God been kind to you in the past? in your walk with him. Actually, my reflection is, as I look back, God has been very kind. Sometimes not always in the way I expected, but he's brought me safe thus far. And so I trust him with the future. Let's look back. We can the great moment of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, but also all those small acts that he's done since then. Habakkuk remembers the past, so can we. Secondly, Habakkuk waits patiently. This is verse 16. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. In other words, he's going through all sorts of churning emotions, isn't he, Habakkuk? Yet, I will wait patiently for the delay of calamity to come on the nation invading us. In other words, he looks forward to the day when Babylon will finish. He's happy to live by faith, trusting that the day of justice will come. For us, we look to the day when Jesus will return and make all things new. The challenge in the meantime, as we live by faith, is to trust and walk with God. And we're to do that when life is hard. Verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold, and no cattle in the stalls, yet, I'll come to that in a moment, but you see, in spite of all the challenges of life, which at sometimes will feel unfair and be miserable, whether it's illness, whether it's being on the end of injustice, God, Habakkuk says he will trust God and wait patiently. Lastly, Habakkuk rejoices in the Lord. He says, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. You see, as he looks back, sees what God's done in the past, as he trusts him in the present, what does he do? He rejoices. He praises God. He sings because he knows that God is good. I will be joyful in God, my Savior, because he knows what God has done for him. And we can know what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Saved us, brought us into his family, and given us a hope of the future. The language here is, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. Now, what is he talking about? This is what the crazy things deers can do. They can go up on cliffs and walk around like that. For people, someone like me who really doesn't like heights, that just fills me with slight horror. But the deer, I remember being on the cliffs in North Devon and watching just all the animals wandering around the top of the cliffs and thinking, the sheep, you're pretty crazy. But that's the image, you see. Actually, the deer doesn't worry. And actually, we can be like that. We don't need to worry about all the challenges of life because God is our strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. In other words, God can make us, even in the roughest and toughest of moments, he will keep us. He enables me to tread on the heights. Notice it's what God does. He makes my feet. He enables me. This is a God spirit-led work to enable us to walk by faith in spite of injustice. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is our comforter, the one who gives us the power to live and to follow him. And so we can, even more than Habakkuk, trust God and walk with him in a world of injustice. So as we come to close this book, let me ask, how's God been speaking to you? Where are the areas of challenge in your life? And how does this help you pray and respond? Friends, let's remember the past, all God has done for us in Jesus Christ and personally. Let's wait patiently, trusting God, and let's rejoice in the Lord. We sang, well, I wasn't here, but you sang at the beginning this morning. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful. When the streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. But also, blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. We can walk by faith, trusting a good God, because all he's done for us in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this book. And Father, we know we live in a world of injustice. So much of this world is wrong, and we know it. And Father, we pray that you might act. But Father, most of all, we help us to live in it, to be those who pour our hearts out to you. Let us continue to remember all you've done for us in the past, all you've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the hope of the future. And help us in the meantime to wait patiently and rejoice in all you've done. Amen. We're going to sing. A song reminds us of the character of our God that we can trust. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, greatest treasure of my longing soul. My God, like you there is no other. True delight is found in you alone. Let's sing.